thank you. Thank you, Webster Tarpley, for allowing me, Bruce Marshall, to come on and take over this particular segment of this broadcast of World Crisis Radio here February 27th, 2009. And we will be talking about a variety of things concerning the world crisis, the American crisis, the personal crisis of individuals in this particular dilemma that we're in, the meltdown crash of the world economic system precipitated around the U.S. dollar and what has happened with Wall Street. So this is a very difficult time that we are in, and we are trying to bring you a sense of how to battle what is a very difficult situation with this new president, Obama, and the fact that we're caught in between two different paradigms, the paradigm of the Democrats and the Republicans, and the dialectical, you know, approach that has caught us into a situation where it's very difficult for people to see how to move forward. But there is a way forward, and there's various ways of dealing with this to prevent basically what is a totalitarian takeover of the United States and individual liberty, community principle, and things. So I guess where I want to start here, and I'm just sort of looking at things from various points of view. I am a contributing writer to Webster's book, our book, the Obama, the Postmodern Coup, and this was put out in the spring of 2008 as a response to what we were seeing in terms of where this Barack Obama, what constituted this particular rise of this political machine, this political operation, which we characterize as a people power coup, a something similar to the color revolutions that were going on in Eastern Europe at the time, CIA, such as in the Ukraine, such as in Georgia, and elsewhere. And one of the things that raised our ire was finding out that Zbigniew Brzezinski was an advisor of Obama, and that most likely Obama had studied under Brzezinski while at Columbia. Certainly we don't know much about the truth and reality of his background other than he apparently went to certain colleges and things, such as Harvard and Columbia. But at Columbia, he wrote a paper about Russian nuclear disarmament. And recently I've written a paper concerning Obama and Obama seeks a Russo-Iranian war. Now, we know that the Russians and Iranians are working together on nuclear power plants and such things. And Obama is in a situation where, from the right, he has to look at the situation around Iran and the AIPAC and put pressure on that. On the other side of it, he has a larger framework with which to look at, which is really comes from the point of view of the Brzezinski Doctrine, and the which really has to do with world control, the grand chessboard, which is essentially the great game. How do we take care of and control resources within Asia, resources to be controlled by the oligarchical financial elite, which at this point in time is collapsing. And so what we have with Obama is Obama is a warmonger. And the threat is that Obama is now pitting Iran versus Iraq. I mean, excuse me, Iran versus Russia, to try to break this, to put pressure on, by Russia against Iran, and in order to break their relationship as to the building of nuclear power plants, which is a step forward in terms of economic development. What we have here, so that's the beginning of the thesis.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
To the chase here, that the issue is that Obama represents a left cover for imperial fascism or imperialism by essentially New World Order imperialism or one world government imperialism. Any of those types of approaches, I think, really what we're looking at is a continuation of an economic the economics of the British imperial system, which has continued as an Anglo-American power elite, and something that is opposed to the approach of FDR and the approach that FDR wanted after World War II in terms of the development of the world. And this is where the relationship between Iran and Russia is so very important through the building of this nuclear reactors. Those on the right would say, oh, why does Iran need nuclear power? They've got oil. Well, you don't understand that for a modern economy, we really do need high-density energy to be put forth, and really the most high energy efficient production is not through oil, but through the conversion of uranium and in nuclear power processes. And this is what will develop various sectors within the Iranian country, because you need engineers, you need skilled technicians, you need people to work with these various implements in this. Well, what Obama represents is he's part of a elite. We know that he's been funded by Wall Street and by various foundations. And foundations, and this comes out of the whole Rockefeller trilateral sphere, which Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the great trilateralist, and basically warmonger. And the issue is to keep Asia at war, proxy wars, to keep a developmental process within these various nations from happening. And this fosters basically any challenge that might come through a block of China, Russia, and India towards challenging and helping to create a new economic system. The dollar system collapses. So what we have with Obama is the imperialist is on January 22nd, just as he comes into office, the bombing of Pakistan continues, a policy that he first called for during the summer of 2007. So before the full campaign had gotten on, Obama was calling for the bombing of Pakistan, which is a policy of destabilization of the area. And now his call for more troops is really a sick call for continued war. And the question is when will the peace movements and various groups start to understand what the threat of Obama really is? Who is this guy? What is he really about? And I think the thing starts to come home here as we look and analyze his economic system. He's a man who has supported the Iraq War, but now he has supported the bailout under Bush of Wall Street, the first of the TARP measures. He supported, of course, the second TARP. Now he has the stimulus package. And now we are looking at the budget, and so what we have in the stimulus is not a lot of money going for infrastructure and the development of things along that line. Even though we'll get a lot of talk about pork barrel spending and all that type of thing from the Republicans, the fact of the matter is that it's really more money that's going to the coffers of Wall Street, and the issue here is not about investment in various American firms that produce things such as the General Motors, the driver towards all the various parts manufacturers and things like that associated with the automobile manufacturing or any other manufacturing for that matter, but really for servicing the greatest Ponzi scheme ever, which is the derivatives markets, which has now been tabulated as around $1.8 quadrillion in outstanding derivatives debts. Today, now we have Citibank crashing even further. The investment banks are totally going to shreds, and that's the first thing that Obama is dealing with continuing to, through Geithner, put money into the hands of Wall Street. But then again, the credit markets are not flowing in through to the rest of the economy, be it through to the state, to states across the country, be it through to various companies who need to buy, capital things to continue. People are, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of people going out of work every day, and so something has to be done about this. And we don't really see it with Obama. We see a lot of rhetoric in this direction, but we don't see a strong commitment to a larger scale approach that will deal with the problem. So now, so this is where we're at. Where do we come in and approach? What is the appropriate role of the United States government in this situation? That's delineated in the federal constitution. We'll get into that further, and we will have a guest today that will be talking about the American system of economics.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, so what we have now is a very dangerous situation where to real debate, and that's the purpose of this program. I know certainly as Webster will articulate and continue to articulate a call for action by citizens to counter a debate that runs into a particular left-right scenario. Okay, so what we have is we have the Republicans right now calling Obama a neo-Marxist socialist and for a variety of reasons. And I think we can look at a lot of those arguments and a lot of people can resonate with this in various ways. But what we don't look at is, of course, the issue of what is Wall Street welfare for Wall Street, which really is what Obama is about. And what Obama now wants to do is continue with that, but also cut various social programs. So the Republicans are seeing a expansion of entitlements, but we also we understand that, and we're seeing this already through the Obama administration, that he wants to actually cut entitlements. He wants to cut various programs for people. Now, of course, what we have to do is we have to get to a basis of what constitutes economic, how to deal with this economic crisis, because what Obama is calling for will not work. It's not going to solve the crisis on Wall Street because he's not unwilling to take on Wall Street. It's not going to solve the crisis of people in the economy because people cannot live on what the government will be doling out, nor will they be able to go forward with their businesses with the continued restrictions on the general economy that is being put forth by Obama. We will not solve our problems with the alternative energy type of approach that he is calling for, which in itself is if you look at the budget, he's not even really putting much money into this. He's not. He's going to be putting in cap and trades and things like this, which will cause the cost of power to go up very highly, and it's not going to be solved by windmills. They're not going to. They don't have the energy flux density to solve the issue. They don't pay for themselves. It's not enough. And so the problem here is, what do we do with the financial crisis? And what we have to do is put these firms, these Wall Street firms, which includes the Federal Reserve, under bankruptcy reorganization. This doesn't mean Geithner's nationalize the banks and essentially make the federal government be the guarantors of the billions the trillions and trillions in quadrillions of dollars in derivatives, but actually to wipe out all this bad paper debt. Because this is what it is. This is the crux of the matter. It's all fictitious capital. It's all nothing. It's just it's casino chips, which do represent people's lives. What has happened is what's coming home to roost is the fact that businesses are shutting down, economic production is shutting down. This has been something that's been going on for a long time. We've been we've gone for short-term profits and the grabbing of money through buying up firms and then essentially selling off everything and making a quick profit and then using those profits to invest in various schemes on Wall Street. So it's like any other addict. It's, crack addict, whatever it is. They are going on borrowed and lost funds. So the first thing to do is to stop this, and that's to stop the Federal Reserve and to really start to change the whole national economic process by the sovereign creation of funds through Congress, as stated in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, and then low-interest loans towards the productive economy. This is towards, and then with a massive investment in those things that will really get things going, such as a full magnetic levitation type of transportation system across the United States. That's a major type of approach that's going to be needed to solve to address the larger problem. At the same time, we have the issue of foreclosures. We call for a ban on these foreclosures. We can work this type of situation out. We also can work it out so we don't get into this argument about the deadbeats and people not doing that. Certainly, people want to own things. They don't want to be renters to the government or anything else. They want to be able to invest in something and have some sort of a control in their lives and things. But the situation is we cannot afford to have a total societal breakdown of things. So one of the other things that will be basic in terms of stabilizing the money, what the value of our money is really going back to something that FDR implemented later in the New Deal with the beginning of the World War, and that is parity agriculture. So what that means is something that the cost of goods, what constitutes value. There's many ways to look at things, but ultimately, raw material production in terms of food and be it mineral resources and other resources are vital. So that they be funded for the cost of the production and the cost of continued production and production in a manner that is not actually, say, stripping the land and various things. Now, this actually goes the same thing into such things as the human mind and our funding of those who are that's our future. We have to fund into our future and look into that type of further investment down the line. And from this point of view, we do have the will to go forward and to see things in a new manner.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
So here we go. We continue here looking at what do we do at this point in time. Now, some of the things that I'm talking about, we certainly have, I think, maybe a growing awareness across the country through the Internet and things of a large, I would say probably, who knows how many people, but a large contingent of people who know that, you know, what we're being fed through the mainstream media and things is not correct. What we have at this point in time is Obama, the Democrats, and some Republicans in there. And where do we come in and start to make some changes? This is going to require, you know, people getting into Congress or running for Congress and articulating some different viewpoints on the whole approach. And I think the fact of the matter is that, you know, well, it's a difficult situation. You know, what happens if, you know, Obama, I don't think, is going to be successful, but that will entail a certain backlash in the other direction, and that will entail policies that will be a different form of let's say, approaches that continue the Federal Reserve, the privatized Federal Reserve type approach, and a looting of the economy through the policies of free trade, which Obama is for, and military adventurism, which Obama continues. And the fear here is that we could have, as the system collapses, we're ripe for a further grab of power by the government. Through, be it another terrorist event or manufactured terrorist event, the expansion of war, which then becomes another sink for spending in a manner that keeps people further enslaved and doesn't deal with our fundamental issues of how we can create a positive future here in the United States, amongst our communities, but around the world. And so the rhetorical approach of Obama towards the environment and the economy and social issues, one, don't really deal with a lot of these issues. I mean, you have a lot of people that will talk about you know, wind farms and solar and various other things, but that's it. They will not look at some of the alternative energy approaches, such as black light power, such as some of the zero point, the cold fusion technologies, or even hot fusion approaches, the funding of hot fusion approaches, or any of these approaches, which would which there are many, which could yield incredible amounts of energy, and then start to allow cheaper fuel to push various aspects of economic development and whatnot through into the economy. So. It's I guess it's this whole issue of a balance between a radical free market system, which is a excuse for a total grab of resources and a total dictatorship, or some sort of a combination of a socialist approach that still plays on that game, which is what Obama is doing, or something that takes a different point of view and understands the role of the nation, but one that is outside the links of the privatized banking system that we have today, or what we're seeing is sort of a socialized banking system, which is not in benefit of the people or entrepreneurship or really anything. So, you know, how do we go forward with that? Again, I think it's not get sucked into the Obama rhetoric, but not get sucked into what the Republicans might be countering with, but to come forth and to champion a revival of the New Deal, the policies of FDR, and what is known as the American system of economics, and that tradition, which goes back to Benjamin Franklin and Alexander Hamilton, and was revived by Lincoln to fight the Civil War. And that's what that's where we're going. We're either going to go into further a police state and further control that doesn't help people, that actually cuts needed programs, that starts rationing health care, such as is put forth in the stimulus package, that rewards pharmaceutical concerns in a certain hegemonic way, but really the government's control over medicine and control over so many aspects of life, but at the same time is not doing its due justice to the role and mission of the government. If I seem lost, it's maybe because what we're set up against is a certain paradox, which we're actually trying to cut through that paradox and to realize that 25 years of saying, or many years since Reagan came into office, of big government is the problem. Well, I think we can recognize that, but we also can recognize that no government is the problem as well, but also the manner with which the government has been essentially taken over by private finance capital. And that's what fascism is. Fascism is that private finance capital controlling the state and using the state to push forward its own particular vision. And this is now what we have under Obama is something very similar to, be it totalitarian of the left or right variety. I don't see it as either fascist or communist. I see it as a combination of both, which is probably will be the distinction of the greater horror of the American menace which Obama is leading. So the issue is Obama says we're not quitters, and we're not going to quit fighting this guy on a number of levels. So we're going to continue in the next part with hopefully a guest. And all right, hope you stay tuned. Perhaps. Okay, so here we go again. fighting basically this paradox of how do we get out of this crisis situation with our nation and the world intact, because the issue here is will we go into a potential world war situation because of these policies, and with the continuing collapse on various levels of the economic system. Now, I think at this point in time, there's the issue is that we'll throw in money at the problem and hope it sticks. And but what's the Faustian bargain here? What are we getting out of it? And I think there's a lot to be realized in terms of that we're not going in the direction of supporting a productive type of economic approach, a productive understanding of where we want to be in the coming years. And that means, will we, deal with the various problems that we have, and will we be able to support ourselves without destroying ourselves at the same time? And this means, will we be able to support Social Security and expand it? Will we be able to bring such things as healthcare to people, or will we be totally priced out of the situation? And will we be in a situation where we will be attracting people into various professions, such as medicine, such as teaching, such as these various things? Or will we be going into a further situation of austerity measures, a cut down of essential services, a destruction of the buying power of our money, be it through inflation or deflation or combination of both, or with increased tax rates, be they real or invisible taxes, if the federal government does it, the states will. So those are some of the issues. And so coming back to some of the fundamentals of the United States and what we were set up to do and why we became such a strong nation is one is our Republican form of government, and the fact that what we have is we have the ability through basically a divine sovereign will, or the sovereign will of the mission of the nation, to develop the general welfare of the country, to promote the general welfare. And that means through developing the common engines of economic development, and that is, was historically seen in the development of, say, the water transportation, the canal system, things like this, the development of the importance of higher education, land-grant education, various school systems that were set up towards increasing the knowledge of people and the inventiveness of folks. This is what we've seen, and but maybe we're not experiencing it anymore. We're not seeing we're seeing a breakdown of a commitment to manufacturing or business in the United States, which took on the model of basically free trade, which was take things, put them offshore because it was cheaper to produce things offshore than to produce them at home. That's because you no longer supported a protective tariff. And one of the reasons why we didn't support a protective tariff is because we went off of the Bretton Woods system of trade, having to do with a balance of currency. We went onto a free-floating exchange rate back under George Shultz in 71 under the Nixon administration. And so free trade, really, a lot of it is about opening up other countries to our credit markets and to our banking system, as much as it is to, getting goods from, some other country, or producing things in some other country or trying to export to some other country. Really, the major export is financial services and buying up, the productive powers and the resources of other countries. So we've seen this in the workings of the World Bank and IMF, who loan money to countries and then put steep conditionalities on countries. And I guess the same thing is starting to happen to the United States, where steep conditionalities upon what we can do to protect the people in this country and our resources, be it hospitals or highways or other things, is sacrificed for debt payments to private banks, private banking entities, which right now are in a scramble to survive. So they're all collapsing, and they want to stay in power. And they have a convenient person in Barack Obama who's camouflaged to fool people into thinking that he is for certain things, but even things that I may be articulating, but in reality he is not. He's going to be putting forth harsh austerity measures on a variety of things. So the age of Social Security eligibility will probably go up. The amount of benefits will be cut. There'll be other cuts in Medicare and things like this. While at the same time, probably the funding for these things will go up, and the taxation at the same time will go up, which then puts us into a weird situation with this right-left paradox that we're in and we're trying to disentangle ourselves from at this point in time. So, again, we have proposed and we ask people to start to act themselves and to write things and to run for office and to take part in calling for a bankruptcy reorganization and a return to Article 1, Section 8.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
To this aspect of, as I said, the development of funds coming from the sovereign responsibility of the federal, our federal republic, our constitutional republic, is that, one, we need to get into a understanding of back when we support the production of commodities in the United States, and that we in this the funding and the price of commodities are adequately funded, so the producers of those commodities are adequately given compensation so that they can actually take part and be part of the economic, they can take part and buy things. What we've seen is basically a situation where money, the value of the dollar vis-a-vis the production of a bushel of corn and things like that has been kept at a very low rate artificially by the government. And the problem is that the farmer has gotten screwed. Agribusiness has been the one who's made the money in these things. And this has to do with mining and then the value-added understanding of what goes on in terms of manufacturing. So for the cost of taking, ore out of West Virginia, but then the people who are taking the ore out of West Virginia can't ultimately afford certain things that are then produced on other levels of the economy through that ore. And that initial work, you have a problem of diminishing returns and a concentration of wealth into a smaller and smaller segment of the population. And that's, I think, really what the problem is at this point in time. You've had economies of certain scale and whatnot. So what I'm not saying is that, we should, here we have, say, take the gasoline, where we've put, 60% of the cost of gasoline has gone into, speculative bubbles. It hasn't gone back into, other parts of the economy and cycled through. So what I'm really explaining and trying to articulate is something that some of the people at the National Organization for Raw Materials have put together. They have a small website and a few good essays there that I would suggest reading as part of what we should understand and realize in terms of when we look at the aspects of the New Deal and what we were able to do in terms of to get things going in this country in World War II, and to understand that how we get basically aspect of the working economy out there, be it the family farm, the farmer, or the businessman, or other aspects. It's all interrelated, such that they start to gain in what they are able to do, and so they really look at these economists what the approach and the level of what buying power does and how it multiplies throughout the rest of the economy. So that's how that stands. Going back to Obama at this point in time, it's can we say? The hope, keeping hope alive, is that we start to fight him on various levels. And really, the key to that fight, I think, is really going to be on exposing him as more on the right hand side than the left hand side, as the Republicans want us to believe that he's a neo-Marxist. Yeah, sure, he's put in money for Acorn and these groups and basically grand giveaways in terms of political patronage in certain ways, but the real understanding is that he's going to be implementing harsh austerity measures, and this cut in the deficit is basically you're going to see that's the key is the austerity measures against the people in the United States, and that's going to be seen in higher utility prices and other things as he puts forth things to deal with the so-called global warming, which is basically a very fraudulent scheme to prevent actual progress from being implemented in many ways. It's another thing to scare off innovation and whatnot. So the austerity measures will basically, Obama is going to be continuing to pit various segments of the population against one another, be it as we've seen, bitter Americans, the Joe the Plumbers, that type of thing, versus his hordes of Democrats duped into believing that this guy is some sort of FDR. Here we are again. I'm Bruce Marshall. I'm sitting in for Webster Tarpley today. I've been going over aspects of the crisis that we are in here as a nation, talking about the economics, what we should try to be working for in terms of a solution, a call for a real New Deal, not this fake New Deal by Obama, and a warning against Obama as a warmonger that we're seeing, and that we should fight against that and have no more illusions about this, and to get beyond the left-right split that sort of keeps people caught in a particular paradigm, and which I sort of talk myself here about as a really it's a sort of a paradox that we get caught into one side or another of a particular equation here, and which keeps us being at no new taxes or these various slogans on one side or another when we're dealing with real issues and real situations that are affecting people. The fact that this is a crisis that I know Webster has been warning against for many, many years, and has articulated in various levels including in the 9/11 synthetic terror book, which really pulls this whole issue within a geopolitical framework that recognizes the existential collapse of the Anglo-American banking systems and their continued way to take power through manufactured crisis such as 9/11. And one of the things that I've been sort of putting forth, well, I haven't today in this call, but and I think this is one of the things that was missed really in the, you know, if we were running against Obama, it would have been made, is that, you know, the whole connection with Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground of Obama and stuff is the fact that Obama really is a terrorist. He is a creature of the Anglo-American elite. You know, he's funded by George Soros and Wall Street other you know, various networks, be it the various foundations that he was connected to, that Bill Ayers was later was connected to, and the Weather Underground was connected to. So, in a sense, what you have is Bush became the perfect foil for getting in what Bush could never do, and what Bush, if Bush or McCain was continued in, you'd still have a strong impeachment movement. You would still have a movement against the war and the spreading of war, and Bush would not be able to get away with, you know, moving troops from Iraq to Afghanistan. But that's what you have here. You have under Obama this push. You have under Obama this push for troops in Afghanistan and bombing of bombing of Pakistan. You have a problem where potentially pitting Russia and Iran against one another. You have here in the United States a continued bailout of trillions of dollars now to basically keeping the derivatives markets afloat, to funding these guys, even though they are continuing to collapse and there's really no end in sight to this. And then a very weak move towards infrastructure rebuilding, very, very weak, and very misguided, you know, attempts to deal with a true recovery, which is going to require a variety of things. You will need the expansion of social safety nets to deal with various aspects of the crisis. But at the same time, you're going to need a revamping and an opening up of the true credit markets. And the only way to do that at this point in time is to not give it to Wall Street, which will not do that, but will just be sending money down the drain to its derivative schemes, and to trying to keep itself afloat, but into those types of things that are going to serve the productive economy that keeps people alive, keeps people fed, clothed, and to have a positive attitude towards the future, be this amongst the young or be it amongst the people of any age, actually. So, you know, a revival of the freedoms that FDR articulated and a understanding of a humane aspect of how we're approaching life here here in the United States is fundamental. So the thing is that the elites have put in Obama. We know this. He's been groomed for a particular role, and the aspect of this is that he is not what he appears to be. And anyone who believes he's in a particular way of some sort of savior or some sort of new implementer of the a New Deal is misunderstood, because it's Barack H. Obama. The H stands for Hoover, because what he's doing is no different than Hoover did in terms of using federal money to prop up the banks and private banks, and then creating a situation where we're in debt to those banks through the interest of those initial loans that then are guaranteed by the taxpayers of the United States, and then at the same time put into responsibilities around the world that we should not be into, such as bombing other countries, and as we have, and as we're continuing to do. And one of these things will be look for troops in Africa.
The GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Bruce Marshall again. I'm filling in this today for Webster Tarpley, World Crisis Radio. The national crisis here in the United States of a takeover by or the continued takeover, let's put it that way, of financial Wall Street oligarchy, the Anglo-American finance capital system, which is totally bankrupt system, is destroying the productive economy of the United States and of the world. And now we're in a breakdown crisis, which we are trying to patch up with Keynesian governmental spending. And what we're trying to articulate is a middle ground that understands the role of the republic here, which is unique, the United States, Republic of the United States, as a role in the economic is known as the general welfare of the nation, and that role articulated as the duties of Congress in terms of what its obligations are. And here we have a situation where Democrats and Republicans' obligations have been to their constituents that really don't represent the true constituents of the United States, but they will try to make you, fool you into believing so. It is essentially a Wall Street playing both sides of the fence here with their insurance policy. Barack Hoover Obama, who is now in control with the Democrats over Congress, over the executive branch, an occupation of the White House, essentially a coup d'état of sorts has been implemented when at this point in time the United States has the means and responsibility to step in and to call for essentially a bankruptcy reorganization of the financial system as it stands or as it crumbles, and it is crumbling and will continue to crumble with $1.8 quadrillion in derivatives that have no reflection in the real world in terms of the value of what stands behind quadrillions and quadrillions of dollars, more than a further imposition by government against the people of the United States, further enslaving people into basically being the guarantors of the system. Obama becoming the slave master when he could be working in a manner that would be liberating the productive qualities of human nature and fostering the general welfare, which would start through basically investment into what is the productive economy. This would be, of course, infrastructure in various layers of things, which would provide dividends to the country. But we don't have that when our system of what constitutes basic wealth and whatnot is controlled by certain market forces, which have had a control over commodity prices and things, which do not reflect a distribution cycle of income and of goods throughout the whole economy of various levels of manufacturing. So one of the things that I did speak of is the National Organization for Raw Materials, which gives some very good analysis of things, and a lot having to do back in the Depression. And in a short little article on distribution of goods, incomes, and services, here we have, you have the farm, you have the mill, you have the bakery, you have the store, you have the consumer. And on the other side, you have the farmer who sells wheat and buys a tractor. Well, if he can't buy the tractor, well, then the tractor dealer can't sell the tractor. The tractor manufacturer can't, he doesn't know whether he's going to have to lay off people because he can't, there's no need for it. If the tractor manufacturer can sell tractors, he's going to make a certain profit, which then his workers and various people are going to, buy things from the storekeeper, and it goes around in a circle. And what's interesting is within this little simplified view of things is we don't see the banker here. But here we have bankers, Wall Street, who basically use the money for speculative purposes when money should be moving around into the credit markets. And basically what we're even saying here, or what I'm saying, these are my thoughts, not Webster Tarpley's thoughts or anything else. So I want to put that clarification on this whole show, these are some of the ramblings of Bruce Marshall here, what we have is something that we have a collusion of the federal government with private bankers that are basically have their hand in every facet of the distribution cycle of money and of services, of goods, things, and they're keeping things from going. And now the next step in this is something that's continued for a long time, and that's from the government going in and doing things that only it can do. And that is put the national impetus, say, that we wanted to go to the moon. And putting that in and using that as a science driver to create and to employ various public and private firms and interests together that yielded many great dividends that contributed to the rest of the economy, so that every dollar invested in these directions was put forth and had a breakdown in this level. And what Obama's doing comes nowhere near to bring anything towards the type of recovery that we would need. And this is the big problem. So this show will certainly continue. Articulations of these things. I thank you very much.